chapter 5, starting at verse 17, praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to be talking about going from paralysis to power. From paralysis, y'all understand what paralysis is? Someone that can't move. Someone stuck on a bed. Someone that can't get up. Their body does not work. But then Jesus comes along, hallelujah, and changes everything. Glory to God. Luke chapter 5 is a story of Jesus doing just that. And we're just going to walk through this little story, and it's an amazing opportunity to see many things concerning things that we deal with, problems that we deal with, where we are paralyzed, what I'm calling spiritually paralyzed. This man was physically paralyzed, and Jesus came along and healed him. But I believe in many areas of our life, I'm seeing believers that are spiritually paralyzed, just dormant, just laying there, no power to get up, no power to do anything. And so Jesus is going to change that. Luke 5, verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he," Jesus, "was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Glory to God. Verse 18, "And behold, men brought in a man, which was taken with a palsy." That palsy just means paralyzed. He was paralyzed. "And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him," before Jesus. So get the picture. There's a huge crowd of people. Jesus is preaching or teaching or whatever he's doing. He's ministering the word of God. He is the word of God. And so, and there's so many people gathered around, and they're trying to get this sick, paralyzed man to Jesus. Notice it says that the power was present to heal. Power was present. That word power in the Greek is the word dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite from. It's the miraculous power of God. Sometimes we talk about the anointing to do miracles or the anointing to heal. It is that kind of power that's present. There's two words for power in our New Testament. One is dunamis. The other one is for authority. It's exousia. So this one is the power one, talking about, you know, this miraculous force and power of God was there to lift him up. The power was present. It isn't the other one talking about authority, but the word authority is later on in this passage, and we'll see that here in just a moment. But I just want you to notice that the power was there. Nothing happened, but the power was there. The room was filled with people that were skeptical, Pharisees, Sadducees. There was also maybe some that believed and some that were somewhere in between. They weren't sure, but they wanted to believe. But then the power came. Glory to God. We know the power being particularly, we talk about the power of God being the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He was there. And this man was paralyzed. He couldn't get up. Jesus was ministering the word of God. We know the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so people's faith was rising up. The power, you know, Jesus was preaching or ministering a sermon, and he was compelling people to, you know, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's preaching the gospel message. The kingdom of heaven is here. Repent. And so it would move people to become believers, to change their lives and surrender their lives to God. But also, it would move people to believe. If you need more faith, you need to get in God's Word. God's Word, the Bible, is where your faith grows. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by this. You need to hear more of this. So as the story continues in verse 19, "And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus." Verse 20, "And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." So get the picture. This is in a house or a building of some kind, obviously. And there's so many people coming from all surrounding cities, several cities it names here, region of Judea, an entire region. So there could have been hundreds or even thousands of people crowding around, just leaning in, trying to hear what Jesus had to say. They didn't have any microphones. So everybody's like nudging each other, be quiet, I'm trying to hear what he's saying. And so you can imagine so many people are surrounding this building, this house, whatever it was. And they know there's these men that have a paralyzed man on a couch that they carried from who knows where, how long it took him to get there, how heavy the man was, but they got this man there. And there's so many people they know they can't get through the door. There's so many people. So one guy comes up with an idea. I know. Let's climb up on the roof, move the tiles out of the way, and we'll lower him down. You can see the desperation. You can see the faith. He commended them there in just a little bit. Their faith, because of your faith, not just the man that was paralyzed faith, but all their faith together, they knew if they could just get him to Jesus, everything would change. They knew that Jesus was a healer. Glory to God. So they just needed to get this man to Jesus. And that's our job as a church. We need to get people to Jesus. Jesus is not only the healer, he's the forgiver. And that's really what we're going to see here. He forgave the man his sins. That's what we just read. It says here, he forgave the man his sins. And in doing that, that actually healed him. But glory to God, we just need to get people to Jesus. No matter the difficulty, the things, the people we might have to move out of the way, the roof has to be removed, no matter how much, it's important. The most important thing that you do on this earth is to bring people to Jesus. Because before, you weren't in Christ, right? That was the most important thing, is first, you had to get in Christ. That's behind you. If you're in the body of Christ, if you're born again, you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've been washed in the blood that we've been talking about, you're cleansed and you're forgiven. And that's my message to you this morning. That's what I want you to get, is you're forgiven. Because what happens when you're forgiven, in this instance, this man got up from a paralyzed position and went home. He went home healed. Have you been paralyzed spiritually? And if you're paralyzed naturally, maybe there's someone watching us. Jesus will heal you from that too. But I'm talking about we have been withheld from what God is calling you to do and calling you to be because we're afraid. Because we don't really understand the power of you've been forgiven. Either we don't believe we've been forgiven or we're not walking in what that really means. We understand from this instance, it raised a paralyzed man. His body miraculously started working just because he was forgiven. Because, since you've been born again, how has your life changed? Have you walked in all the benefits of your forgiveness? That's what I'm talking about. Do you really, from your heart, believe you've been forgiven? Or does the enemy come along and convince you, well, you know what? God's not going to do anything for you. Look at all the things you've done. He puts shame and guilt on you to keep you paralyzed, to keep you inactive. Essentially, you might as well be dead because you're not doing anything for God because you're afraid. See, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear in your heart is the evidence, I'm still paralyzed. I don't actually believe I've been forgiven because I'm not walking. I'm not getting up out of this bed and doing what God's called me to do. I don't have faith that, he'll hear my prayers. I don't have faith that he'll reach down and help me in my trials and my situation. I don't have faith to get out of this bed and go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to minister this life that God has given me. That's what I'm talking about. There's so much in these words, you've been forgiven. so much that I think we are unaware of. It does have the power to heal. But spiritually speaking, are you paralyzed? Because it also has the power to raise you up. Get these words, you are forgiven. Glory to God. That'll raise you from paralyzed to power when you get a revelation of what the forgiveness that Jesus paid a terrible price for you. Died on a cross for you. Hallelujah. So we're going to be reminded that we have been forgiven. There is no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. The devil has no power over you whatsoever any longer. Thank God. Hallelujah. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. So, what is forgiveness? Well, you know, we tell people Jesus died on the cross and you need to come to him, have faith in him, and your sins will be washed away. But sometimes we need to understand and sometimes explain what forgiveness is not. People have the wrong idea. And we have the same problem. We have the wrong idea. We start looking at the things we've done wrong and say, well, that's why Jesus is not going to help me in my situation or answer my prayer, or that's why I can't go do what he's telling me to do, because look at all this baggage I have. Look at all these things. And so when we present the gospel to people, you know, people will say, you know, I'm not that bad of a person, right? They have this weird mentality. If my good deeds outweigh my bad ones, God's going to let me into heaven. It's going to be okay. That's the majority of the world thinks something along those lines, that I have to do good things to outweigh the bad ones. I have to try to be a good person. If I'm generally a good person, you know, God will forgive me. He'll just overlook all these little things that I've done. Yes, I've lied and I've cheated and I've lusted after a woman or a man. God will overlook those things because I've done so many good things. That's not how we're forgiven, right? We all understand that. That's a works mentality. That's the wrong mentality. You cannot be saved based on the things you do or don't do, right? So we have to understand, when we present the gospel, teach them, hey, your forgiveness is not based on you. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. By what standard are you good? The standard of heaven is absolute sinless perfection. Perfect righteousness, never committing even one tiny microscopic sin. Do you meet that standard? Well, no. No one would say yes. I've never done anything wrong. I've never sinned, unless they're crazy. And you'll run into them on occasion when you're ministering to people. Anyway, so no, everybody understands I've done something wrong. So it's like, you know, you go before the judge. Let's say this criminal is standing before the judge, and he's like, okay, judge, I know I just committed an axe murder of somebody, but look at all these good things I've done. What about all these good things? And he starts listing all the good things he's done in his life. I ain't that bad, right? No, that doesn't make any sense. No criminal knows that. That's not going to work in a court of law. That's because all the good things you do doesn't atone for a single crime, a single sin. It isn't based on what you do or don't do. How do we become forgiven? It's faith in the blood of Christ. Faith in what he did. We understand the great exchange took place. He died on that cross. He took all our sins, all those crimes upon himself, and took the penalty, the wrath of God on our behalf. And then the exchange is, we gained his righteousness. We are forgiven. In the eyes of God, we are righteous and we are clean. That is amazing. That's the great exchange. So I'm talking about how we're not forgiven. And so my point is, we don't want to always go back to, well, I can't step out and do what God's called me to do. Look at these things I've done. Well, repent. The good news is 1 John 1:9, if you have sinned, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from every single sin, every single one. Hallelujah. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. No Christian would make it if it wasn't for 1 John 1:9. Thank God if we confess our sins. That means admit and agree with God. This was wrong. I confess it was wrong and I turn from it. He's always going to forgive you and cleanse you. But the devil would keep you thinking that you're still that old person, that old man, and keep you paralyzed, spiritually paralyzed. Don't let him. Hallelujah. Your sin is washed away like it never happened. Again, Jesus paid a terrible price to make sure that was true. Rise up. In this story, let's go back to the story. Rise up. You know, is it amazing that he would send his son to die on a cross so that you could enter into heaven? We did not deserve that. Our God is so good, so merciful, so kind. Glory to God. What an amazing God we have that would sacrifice his son. Amazing. I just love him so much. He's so good. He's been so good to me. I don't deserve anything. But he says, you're forgiven. Rise up. Come be with me. Come home. Hallelujah. That's the gospel message we need to be telling everybody. Hallelujah. God is so good. So, where do we leave off? So, verse 20, and he saw their faith and said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, that's an odd thing. If you, the people that brought him maybe would have thought they would, you know, lower him and he'd lay hands on him. Can you just imagine all the people are watching and the roof opens up while Jesus is preaching and Jesus just keeps on preaching and the roof is open and you're trying to watch Jesus and watch the roof open and what is happening now? What is going on? And then this guy falls down from the heavens and they're like, oh, he's sick or something, and they're just trying to get him to Jesus. And so they might have thought, oh, Jesus is going to do a miracle. Everybody's going to watch. Jesus is going to lay hands on him and the power of God's going to raise him up. And they might have thought that Jesus was going to, because we already read the power, the dunamis power was there. But that's not what Jesus does. He just says some words and not the words you would have thought he would have said. He says, your sins are forgiven. But the exact words, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. That's it. That's what he did to heal the guy. So we see that there's an equation here in the power of the words of Jesus Christ to forgive sins is also healing. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. But the point is also, we got to come to Jesus to get forgiven. There's no other way, right? There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. We get people to Jesus to be forgiven. We get people to Jesus to be healed. Glory to God. Jesus is the only way. We cannot depend on our good works. Why? Because there is none righteous. No, not one. There's not one of us that can come and say, you know what, I'm a pretty good person. God's going to let me in. Not one. Because if we could do that, we could always pat ourselves on the back and say, you know what, I didn't really need Jesus that much. No, there's no other way. It has to be all Jesus or you're out. Complete faith in what he did on that cross. And when he died on that cross, he took your sin. Took the wrath of God for that sin. Died, rose again. And when he rose, you rose. When this man was forgiven, what happened? He rose up. It's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to step out. Stop letting fear dominate your life and do what you're called to do. Trust God in your situation, in your trial, your tribulation. Fear, again, is the opposite of faith. It holds us back from so much. I believe the church could be so much more powerful than we are. But we let fear dominate us, paralyze us spiritually, hold us back. God is with you. God is in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Glory to God. Saw their face, said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? He knew that. Jesus knew. They reasoned this in their heart. This is written in three of the four Gospels, and this was in their heart. The Pharisees and guys were thinking, Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, they're actually right. Ultimately, God alone forgives sins. Hallelujah. And God is right there. It's no blasphemy because God was present. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Glory to God. He was present right there in the room, and he had the ultimate authority to forgive sins. And if God says your sins are forgiven, it's an absolute truth. It's immutable. It is infallible. It is a certainty for all of eternity. Your sins are absolutely forgiven. So why are you still laying in that bed? Glory to God. I want you to see that. Your sins are forgiven. Get a hold of the revelation of what that really means. God said it. The word of God. When he speaks something, I looked up Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times. I mean, it is so pure, so absolute. When God says something, there is nothing in heaven, earth, or under the earth that can change the word of God. It is immutable for all of eternity. You are forgiven. You are justified. You are redeemed. You are cleansed. Stop listening to the lies of condemnation that the devil brings. He's a liar and the father of lies. Don't ever let him hold you back. We know also, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God's very decree, God's very proclamation, you are forgiven. It's absolute and forever. Glory, glory to God. I mean, there's so much power in what he did for us in that. Here's another one, Psalm 138, verse 2. Get this, it says, You have magnified your word above all your name. God places the very words above even his very name, which defines his character. His word is so powerful, so absolute, so sure. There's nothing that should shake us when we get a word from the Lord. I've got the word from the Lord. I am cleansed. I am forgiven. It's forever. Devil, shut up. You're a liar. Fear, shut up. You're lying. Condemnation, you're lying. Glory to God. Verse 22, it goes on to say, Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, he answered his son unto them. Now, what reason you in your hearts, whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. That word power is the other word for power. It's the word exousia, meaning authority. So the dunamis power was present, and it was activated by Jesus speaking these words in authority, thy sins be forgiven. He wanted us to know. Heaven, the Almighty God, has decreed you are forgiven. Do you believe it? So he said unto the sick of palsy, to the paralyzed man, I say unto thee, arise. He didn't lay hands on him or anything. Just the words. We have the words. This is all we really need, church. We have the words of God himself. He said unto him, arise, take up your couch and go into thine house. And immediately, and that's how we need to respond when God speaks, immediately. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he laid and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm challenging you. Now is the time to respond. Again, I believe we're in the last days, and I believe it's part of my mission as a pastor to prepare you for what's coming. And I'm not talking about fear. I'm talking about God moving in the earth. There is coming, I believe, a revival. The Bible talks about in Acts chapter 3, a refreshing. Well, God will pour out his spirit, and there will be power, and there will be God moving, and miracles like this, signs and wonders. The most important thing is the preaching of this gospel so that millions and millions can come and be saved. As things become darker, as the world becomes darker, things get harder, people become more desperate, more hungry, and we have the answer. Hallelujah. If we will rise up, step out of our paralysis, and tell people the good news. Stop focusing on ourselves and tell everybody about a loving God who sent his son to die for them. Hallelujah. What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to be? What's holding you back? Fear? Doubt? Don't let it. That's the evidence that you're spiritually paralyzed, at least in that area. There's some areas we may be doing well in, but it's those areas that we don't want to move that God is saying, now's the time to get up. The world needs you. The world needs what God has put inside of you. Hallelujah. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. Rise up. Immediately rise up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. You sent Jesus. He is our Savior. He is the Lord of all who died for our sins, took the penalty, the wrath of God on our behalf because you loved us so very, very much. And you're calling us, your church, to rise up because you have forgiven us. The power is present. The power is here, not only to heal us bodily, but to heal us in every aspect of our lives, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually, in every area. God, we choose to say, yes, Lord. We want to rise up and be what you've called us to be and do what you've called us to do. We believe you hear our prayers. We believe you love us and that we can trust in you as we step out in faith that you'll be there to meet us. And we can fulfill the calling of the Great Commission to preach this gospel in all the world, to fulfill our individual calls and do what you've called us to do. We thank you, Lord God. We praise you that we are forgiven in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that above all, I can trust in God's word each and every day. The word says heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word is what will stand and what will remain. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, those here in the building and those online. Thank you for joining us. If you have not already, please remember to give. We definitely need your support. We thank God for you being obedient to giving to the ministry. Amen. I also want to invite everyone, encourage you, if you're interested, we are, the church is hosting a relationship seminar The dates are February 16th. It will start that evening, and it will continue the following Saturday morning on February 17th. So please register and plan to attend. I, for one, have been looking forward to it, and I'm excited about it. So hopefully you'll join us as well. Before we end, I just want to encourage you, if you are able, to join us for 11 o'clock service today. And I'm going to end in prayer. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. We ask, Lord, that you be with us through this week. Thank you for your covering and your protection. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. We love you, Lord God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.